I will convene this conference committee for education, finance, and policy to order and welcome everybody. We have a beautiful spreadsheet to walk through today, and we'll also be adopting some articles and amendments as we go along. The plan is to either try to break by 8 to 8:30 if we still have stuff left to do, or if we don't, we'll be done before that. But also because about 3 hours of conference committee is probably enough for just about anybody. So for those of you that have scintillating night plans, watching the House floor, we'll be starting at 9, and otherwise we will move ahead. So with that, members, we have the spreadsheet to walk through. And I want folks to feel free to ask if you have any questions. We'll go, why don't, Ms. Beckel, if you're walking through the spreadsheet, why don't we go section, like, section broken by articles, and we'll stop. So after general education, we'll stop and see if folks have questions. With that, Ms. Beckel, proceed.
Madam Chair, Solveig Beckel, House Fiscal. My colleague Jenna Hofer, Ms. Hofer, and I are going to go through the spreadsheet together, and Ms. Hofer is going to start with the first part of the spreadsheet, and she'll explain a little bit about how to read the spreadsheet as well. So I'm going to turn that over to Ms. Hofer.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Jenna Holford.
I am the nonpartisan fiscal analyst from Senate Council for the Senate Education Committees. And so, members, in your packets, you'll have a couple of different spreadsheets. And I just want to make sure that we're all looking at the same one because there's actually two spreadsheets in the packet that look almost identical. In the upper left-hand corner, they're both labeled 2023 Legislature K-12 Education Finance Budget Bill. The House File 2497-4E and Senate House File 2497-1 Unofficial Engrossment Conference Committee Agreement. But the most recent one in the upper right-hand corner is timestamped today at 1:14 p.m. And the only difference between this one and the other one in your packet that's timestamped at 8:18 p.m. Is we noticed in the original Senate position, there were some numbers that were not correct. So we updated those, and we updated a footnote as well. But otherwise, the numbers in the conference committee agreement columns have not changed since then. So members, we are looking at the spreadsheet again. Upper right-hand corner timestamp is 1:14 p.m. today. I'll briefly orient you to the spreadsheet, and then I'll begin walking through, and Ms. Beckel and I will again alternate between sections. So beginning on the left-hand side, you'll have columns for the line number and the program name. Columns A, B, and C show the original House position entering the conference committee. Columns D, E, and F show the original Senate position entering the conference committee. Then columns G through M show the conference committee agreement. In the upper right-hand corner, just under the timestamp, you'll see the conference committee targets. For the 24-25 biennium, the target was $2,264,100,000, and that's actually an increase of $50 million from when the conference committee began. And the next line is the 26-27 biennium, and that target was $3.2 billion. And you'll see that the target has been met for both bienniums. So beginning with the spreadsheet walkthrough then, the first portion of the spreadsheet is for K-12 education with the general education article. On line 4 begins the formula allowance. And so in column 8, you'll see that first number. So for the fiscal year 2024, the formula allowance will be set at $7,138 per pupil. In fiscal year 2025, it will be set at $7,281 per pupil. And I'll just note that in fiscal year 2024, this is an increase of $275 per pupil, or 4%. And in fiscal year 2025, this is an increase of $143, or 2%. In fiscal year 2026 and later, the formula allowance will be indexed to inflation, and there will be a minimum increase of 2% per year and a maximum increase of 3% per year. So in fiscal year 2026, this would increase the per pupil formula allowance to $7,427, which is an increase of $146, with the estimated inflation rate of 2%. And then in fiscal year 2027, it would be estimated to increase to $7,588, which is an increase of $161 over the prior year, with an estimated inflation rate of 2.17%. And I'll just note that the rate of inflation would be set in January or February preceding the beginning of the next fiscal year. So the amounts shown in fiscal years 26 and 27 are estimated at this time and may change. Line 7 shows the aid shift percentage, and this is the 90-10% shift, which is the normal shifted environment. On line 9 is the first change item, which would be providing a change to the average daily membership for children with disabilities. In the conference agreement column, J, you can see this is an increase of $140,000 in the first biennium and $152,000 in the second biennium. On line 10 is English learner aid for early childhood special education students. This is $1.083 million in the first biennium and $1.385 million in the second biennium. On line 11 is an increase to the English learner revenue. This is an increase of $86.9 million in the first biennium and $171.9 million in the second biennium. On line 12 is a proposal to adjust the compensatory revenue formula, and this would be in the second biennium an increase of $20.7 million. On line 13 is the compensatory revenue attributable to Chapter 18 that was passed earlier in session. You can see that amount is bracketed for each biennium, meaning it is not included in the totals. Line 13, line 14 is extended time revenue for residential treatment facilities. This is an increase of $1.283 million in the first biennium and $1.395 million in the second biennium. Line 15 is the formula allowance increase that I discussed above on lines 4 through 6. In the first biennium, this is an increase of $704.996 million. And in the second biennium, this is an increase of $1.348 billion. On line 16, you'll see the start of a few general education interactions. These are on lines 17 through 19. And these are change amounts associated with two or more change items. So on line 17, you can see that there's an interaction between providing an increase for English learner revenue and the English learner aid for early childhood special education students. So this is $799,000 in the first biennium and $1.021 million in the second biennium. On line 18 is an interaction between the pre-kindergarten program and the basic formula allowance increase. This is $1.676 million in the first biennium and $15.859 million in the second biennium. On line 19, there's an interaction between the pre-kindergarten program and the increase to English learner revenue. In the first biennium, this is $687,000, and in the second biennium, this is an increase of $2.081 million. Lines 20 through 23 are actually combined into line 24. Lines 20 through 23 are associated with the House's original position. But on line 24, you can see the levy offset that's associated with increasing some levies. But because the committee has a zero levy target, those need to be neutralized so state levies don't rise. As a result, state aid is increased through the local optional revenue formula to offset those changes. So in column J, you can see this is an increase in the first biennium of $6.069 million. And in the second biennium, this is an increase of $17.948 million. Line 15 was associate. I'm sorry, line 25 was associated with the original Senate position. Line 26 in the conference committee agreement would provide operating capital revenue in the amount of $2 per pupil for menstrual products and naloxone in schools. This is an increase of $3.535 million in the first biennium and $3.688 million in the second biennium. On line 27 is providing online learning aid for students at Bureau of Indian Education schools. This is $6,000 per biennium. On line 28 is the general education aid associated with increasing the number of voluntary pre-kindergarten seats. In fiscal year 24 and 25, there will be an additional 4,000 seats. And then in fiscal year 2026 and later, there will be an increase of an additional 5,200 seats on top of the 4,000 for a total of 9,200 new seats. And so the total for the general education aid portion of that is $31.747 million in the first biennium and $149.335 million in the second biennium. And you'll see throughout the spreadsheet there are a few other formulas that are associated with this particular budget item. On line 29 is funding to provide special instruction to age 22. In the first biennium, this is $9.641 million, and in the second biennium, this is $10.148 million. Line 30 is an increase to transportation sparsity revenue, up from 18.2% of unreimbursed costs to 35%. In the first biennium, this is $9.895 million, and in the second biennium, this is $11.655 million. Line 31 shows the change to the general education base. In the first biennium, this is an increase of $858.466 million. And in the second biennium, this is an increase of $1.756 billion. Line 33 is other general education programs. Line 34 is Career and Technical Education Emergency Medical Services Grants. This is $1 million per biennium. Line 35 is the Career and Technical Education Transportation Pilot Program. This is a one-time appropriation of $450,000. Line 36 is associated with the original Senate position. Line 37 is also associated with the original Senate position. Line 38 provides an increase to non-public pupil education aid as a result of increases in the basic formula allowance. This is $723,000 in the first biennium and $1.438 million in the second biennium. Line 39 is also a result of the basic formula allowance increase. This would be an increase to non-public pupil transportation aid. In the first biennium, this is $2.892 million, and in the second biennium, it's $7.681 million. Line 40 is an increase to the Career and Technical Education Consortium grants. This is an increase of $4 million per biennium above the current base. Line 41 would provide transportation funding for students attending area learning centers. This is $2 million per biennium. And on line 42 is funding for unemployment aid. And this, I just want to note, we have the wrong footnote on there. This should actually be shown as a transfer to the special revenue fund, and we will correct that on our next round of technical corrections. This is $135 million in fiscal year 2024 only. And members, if you'll turn to page 2, you'll see the subtotal for other general education programs. In the first biennium, this is $146.065 million, and in the second biennium, it's $16.119 million. Line 45 shows the general education subtotal. In the first biennium, this is $1.005 billion, and in the second biennium, this is $1.77 billion. $2 billion. And with that, I'll pause for questions or turn it over to Ms. Beckel.
Thank you so much. With that, thank you, Ms. Helfer. With that, members, any questions on the general education aid at all? Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate it. I can't remember where the House and Senate were in terms of the general formula allowance because those columns are blank. But I'll look to, I guess, what's being proposed to accept here. It looks like 4% in 24, 2% in 25. And then I understand that we're saying in the future it's linked to inflation, but really it's going to be a 2 to 3% increase automatically depending upon what inflation is. And, of course, the legislature can decide to go above or beyond that if it needs. But really my main question is I know we had conversations, at least in the Senate, about the feedback we were getting from school districts and superintendents about how alarmed they were with some of the spending they were going to be required to do. And our answer to them, at least from the Senate, was where you're going to see very large, substantial formula increases. I think it was 4% and 5%. And now I see it's 4 and 2. So I'm just curious if we think we're still going to be affording our schools enough funding to cover the increase you're going to see in some of the mandates that are going to pass in the legislature this year.
Thank you, Senator Duckworth. Well, also the Senate position also had 0 and 0 on the tails. So having 2 and 2 in the stability moving into the second biennium with the inflation area index was a big deal for the House to provide that stability. And part of the numbers that got backed out of the second year of the first biennium was to set aside that $135 million for UI to help out the districts, because I think, and I maybe Senator Kunesh, Chair Kunesh can correct me if I'm wrong, but you kind of rolled that in, that help into your percentage. So I will turn it over to Chair Kunesh to see if she has anything else to add.
I am a little bit disappointed that we weren't able to carry that 4 and 5 and really give that stability. But Chair Joachim was correct. We when we put that together, the Senate team, we had calculated the cost of unemployment insurance in that formula. But as it turns out, rather than putting those dollars into the formula, as I said, we're actually going to have a separate budget line for just for UI, so not to get mixed up with all the rest of the dollars that we're putting in there, and that way we're able to code to for SPED and other things like that. And so once we subtracted out that cost and looked at the opportunity to provide that stability with the 4 and 2, and then the next biennium, knowing that they would, that schools would get at least 2% and 2.17, that does give some reassurance and some stability going forward for the next biennium, and we will continue as best we can to continue that trend.
Senator Duckworth.
Thank you both. I appreciate that information. I would have a follow-up if that's okay. I did notice on line 42 that there is an appropriation for the unemployment insurance aid, which we're going to require districts to also have to do now at this point. And so my question would be, and you know, when we talk about the special education cross-subsidy, which I don't think we talked about yet in the spreadsheet, but I noticed maybe what we're going to fund there decreased a little bit. Is the idea behind the unemployment insurance aid that that's just going to be one-time money and a mandate that we just fund once? Or are we going to look at it like some of the others that we would continue to fund into the future? Because obviously the unemployment insurance costs that districts are going to experience are going to be ongoing into the future. They're not just going to be in fiscal year 24 to 25. So are we just kind of helping them out this once and then it's up to them to figure it out into the future? Or is it the understanding that the legislature is going to continue to help them fund that obligation indefinitely?
Senator Duckworth, I'll answer first and then I'll toss it maybe to nonpartisan staff. But the idea here was to give the one-time money up in the front end because we still were uncertain if the fiscal note was completely accurate. We're not quite sure how many people are going to be uptaking that UI. And instead of dumping a bunch of money into one pot that we weren't able to let the district use other ways, we put money in for now. It has an interaction also with the special education cross-subsidy in the tails, because if they do keep people on, the majority of those paras may be coded to special ed, so we had to take that into account. But the idea is then we'll get the report back because they have to report after this first year how many summer school employees were retained, what their extra cost was, and then we, as they're buying down on that $135 million, that's being able to be utilized not only in the first biennium, but I think we moved it in language that it could be continued to be used into the tails if there was money left. But then we can get a better idea of what money we actually need to put in. So that was kind of the idea, so we could get the best bang for our buck in the front end with other money. But I don't know if Ms. Beckel or Ms. Hofer has anything else to add, or I'll just toss it over to Chair Kunisch. Maybe somebody else can explain the SPED interaction a little bit better than I did. Ms. Hofer.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. There are a few other lines related to unemployment insurance. As we get further into this, Richie, we'd like to address those now, certainly can. So the first one that you mentioned is on line 42. That's the one that we've already discussed. $135 million. This will be your 2024, and that would be transferred to the special revenue fund, and then that would be available through fiscal year 2027, and anything beyond that comes back to the general fund at that time if there were remaining funds. However, it's anticipated that those funds would be expended in the first biennium. And so then the next line that you'll see related to vehicle insurance aid is going to be on page 4. This would be on line 134. So on line 134, you'll see that the conference committee agreement would be increasing the special education aid appropriation by about $128 million in the second biennium. So the thought here is that the one-time funding in fiscal year 24 and 25, if that's all expended within that first biennium, districts would still have ongoing costs related to unemployment aid as they reimburse. And so a portion of that could be billed to special education, and as a result, there would be some special education aid, about $61 million costs coming through the special education aid. So there's an interaction there, and so the spreadsheet builds in that funding. If in the future the legislature comes back and provides additional funding through a separate appropriation, a fiscal note would show a reduction equal to the amount of the unemployment insurance, I'm sorry, the unemployment aid that would have been attributable to those workers who could have been billed to special education. So you'd see a reduction there, and then that aid would be in a separate line. There are a couple of other lines that I can point you to as well. So the next line is on page 200, I'm sorry, on page 5, line 200. And this would be administrative funding to the Department of Education to help with implementing this program and verifying some of the data that comes through. So that would be $64,000 per year or $128,000 per biennium. And then there are two additional lines associated with this. They would be on line 222, which is on page 6 under the Minnesota State Academies for the Deaf and Blind. This would provide separate funding to them, $321,000 per year or $642,000 per biennium. And then finally on line 229 under the Cambridge Center for Arts Education, there's also a separate appropriation there for $24,000 per year or $48,000 per biennium to cover the cost for the first property workers.
Thank you, Senator Duckworth. Any further questions?
Yes, Madam Chair, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
The way that the bill will be written and the way that the funding is intended to be used, will school districts be required only to utilize this funding for this specific purpose, or do they have flexibility as it relates to these funds?
Senator Duckworth, the purpose for the UI account is to pay for the UI unemployment insurance. So when school districts don't get a rate increase, they don't go by a rate, and they don't get a tax. So what they do is they draw down from the UI employment. then they're billed by deed quarterly, and then they have to reimburse that account. They can reimburse that account under the UI out of the $135 million, and then the interaction with SPED was the thing we did with the tails. So I should really let nonpartisan staff answer. I'm sorry. Does that answer your question, Senator Duckworth?
Yeah, it does. It sounds like it can only be used for that specific purpose. I guess my other question would be, if we look at the $135 million appropriation, can anybody give me a sense of what that kind of equates to in terms of what a percentage increase on the formula that would be? It's okay if nobody knows. I'm just curious to try to get a sense of that level of funding as it would relate to how we would potentially increase the general formula.
Ms. Helfer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Duckworth for the question. Kind of some rough back of the envelope math is that 1% on the formula is approximately $70 million per year. So $135 million would be just under 2%.
Senator Duckworth.
I appreciate that, and that's kind of why I bring it up, Madam Chair, is, we're going to increase 4 and 2 and provide the $135 million. That's great. And it sounds like there's maybe even some potential unemployment insurance aid funding into the future. But if we're essentially automating a 2% or so increase in funding into the future, all we're really doing, if we stop funding this very specific account, is affording districts funds to cover the UI expense they're going to have and not any of the other expenses that we would think that the districts would have or we would assume would continue to increase over the years. So I guess that's sort of the concern I have, is all the potential formula increases in the future are going to be eaten up by this unemployment insurance expenditure that we're going to require districts to have to take on.
Thank you, Senator Duckworth. What you have to remember, a 2 and a 2 is really a 2 and a 4. Rolls into the base, so more than cover in the future years.
I understand.
Senator Duckworth.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. Regardless, it eats into whatever increase they may get in the future. And that's my concern, is making sure that we're not piling on to their level of expenses to an extent that we're
Senator really Duckworth, yeah. You guys have a call of the Senate, so we are in recess.
Thank you. I think I finished, so I appreciate it.
Welcome back. We are going to continue on. I think Senator Duckworth, you said you were done. Or one more question, then I'm going to Representative Kreshaw.
Sorry, I did say I was done, so you're right. I apologize. But in the meantime, Madam Chair, I did have a superintendent text me some information as it relates to the conversation that we're having. So I want to share his feedback to kind of give us a real-world example of the conversation we're having and why I'm asking these questions. He said of his district, a 4% increase on the formula in year one is about $290,000. That same year, the unemployment for 12 weeks is going to cost that district $247,000. And he estimates on the low end, if 5% of his staff use paid family leave, it's going to cost the district $176,000. And he explained to me that puts his district at negative $133,000. And that's just one example in the first year with the formula increase of 4%. And that's why I ask the questions, Madam Chair. It's not to be contentious by any means. It's to look at and examine the math, the funding, how it's going to impact districts and their expenses, and what that's going to lead to years down the road as it pertains to them and trying to meet these obligations. So I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Senator Duckworth. The only comment I would have is the base formula allowance is not the total amount that a district gets. For example, in our current allowance, it's $6,863 a student, and on average, most districts get about $10,000 because you have all the categoricals tossed in there. So sometimes every district is as unique as every student they serve. So those numbers can look different for everybody. So I appreciate you hearing from your superintendent. With that, Representative Kreshaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just a couple questions for nonpartisan staff. So we have these, the $135 million goes to special revenue fund, and I believe I know the answer to that. But in the case of, I've had whole districts, that would go into tax-free operating debt. This would stay there. Obviously, they'd have access to it if you're using it for the unemployment insurance part of it, but they could move it to offset some of the other areas that they would have if they're practicing tax-free operating debt. Is that correct?
Mr. Strom, I saw two people moving for the mic.
Madam Chair, members, the unemployment insurance account is set up as a reimbursable account. So the district will be getting their UI reimbursed out of that. It's not a direct revenue to the district. It's a reimbursement amount. So that would not flow to the district unless the district experienced the unemployment insurance costs.
Representative Kreshaw.
Thank you. And certainly we have, you know, hopefully we're always hoping for a reasonable middle, but the two ends of the spectrum is the cost could be less than they're anticipating, so this could carry over into future years into the tails, or it could be more than they're anticipating, of which they would have to backfill with general ed formula. Is that correct?
Mr. Strom?
Madam Chair, members, yes, if the costs were greater, it would come out of the district's general fund.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Kreshaw.
And then just the last one, as we look at this, traditionally, and I think the only way that can happen, school districts will be entering into raises in a high inflationary, so I suspect the negotiations will be on the higher side. That will come out of what we're looking at in the general ed formula allowance, correct?
Representative Kreshaw, that sounds like a political question, so maybe somebody at the table will take it instead of nonpartisan staff. It sounds more like a political question on negotiations.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase it. When we do staff raises, that generally comes out of the general ed formula. Is that correct? That's all I'm asking, is where they get the dollars from. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make it political. Yeah. It was just...
Mr. Stone.
Madam Chair, Representative Kreshaw, yes, the general fund is primarily populated by the formula allowance and other general education revenues.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Kreshaw.
And thank you. Clarifying, I wasn't intending to go down a partisan or non-political. I'm just saying that I'm also hearing from school superintendents, as we all are, business managers, and schools are trying to figure this out. They're going to have to move things on the spreadsheet for their own situations. And my point is they will be having conversations, as they should, raising the wages of their staff. And just they're trying to figure out where those are going to come for, what's going to be left, because they still have other programs to fund, other things. So that's all I'm trying to bring to light. I really didn't mean to make it political.
Thank you. Members, any other questions or comments before we move on to the Education Excellence article? No, with that, who's gonna pick that one up? Ms. Beckel, go for it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Solvay Beckel, House Fiscal. Looking back at that spreadsheet with the 1:14 p.m. timestamp in the upper right-hand corner, page 2, line 48, under Education Excellence. Line 48 shows another interaction with the pre-kindergarten program increases. This one is with the Achievement and Integration Aid. This has a cost of $352,000 in the first biennium and $1.013 million in the second biennium. Line 49, this is an appropriation to the Alliance of Chicanos, Hispanics, and Latin Americans. This appropriation is $500,000 in the first biennium only. Line 50 is an appropriation to the Building Assets Reducing Risks Center, and this appropriation is available until June 30, 2026, and this is $5 million in fiscal year 24 only. Line 51 is another interaction with the pre-kindergarten program. This is with the Charter School Building Lease Aid. This has a cost of $433,000 in the first biennium and $1.737 million in the second. Line 52, the Computer Science Education Advancement Program, receives funding at $1 million in the first biennium and $1 million in the second. Line 53 is associated with the original House proposal coming into the conference committee. Line 54, the Educational Outcome and Accountability Pilot, this receives funding of $300,000 in the first biennium only. Line 55 is Ethnic Studies Community Consultation Grants, which are funded at $300,000 in the first biennium and the second. Line 56 is Ethnic Studies Grants, which are funded at $1.4 million in the first biennium and the second. Line 57 is Full Service Community Schools. These receive $15 million in the first biennium and $10 million in the second biennium. Line 58 is the Genocide and Holocaust Education Requirement. This has costs $150,000 in the first biennium and the second. Line 59 is an appropriation for Girls Taking Action, and this has a cost of $1.5 million in fiscal year 24 only. Line 60 is Innovative Service Learning Grants, and this has a cost of $1 million in fiscal year 24 only. Line 61 is an appropriation to Junior Achievement North. This has a cost of $1 million in the first biennium only. Line 62 is an appropriation to the Minnesota Alliance of Boys and Girls Clubs, and this has a cost of $5 million in the first biennium only. Line 63 is for MAP STARS, and this has a cost of $50,000 in fiscal year 24 only. Line 64 is an appropriation for Minnesota Center for the Book, and this has a cost of $400,000 in the first biennium and the second biennium. Line 65 is an appropriation for the Minnesota Council on Economic Education, and they are appropriated $400,000 in the first biennium only. Line 66 is an increase for the pre-existing Minnesota Foundation for Student Organizations appropriation. Their funding is increased by $632,000 in the first biennium and in the second biennium. Line 67 is an increase in funding for the Minnesota Math Core program. This receives an increase in funding of $1 million in the first biennium and $1 million in the second biennium. Line 68 is the Multi-Tiered Systems of Support, or COMPASS program, and COMPASS program. And this program is broken out into four different components. The total appropriation is $13.5 million per year for a total of $27 million per biennium. And these grants are broken out as $1 million per biennium for CARI, $10 million per biennium for grants to schools, $10 million per biennium costs for the Minnesota Department of Education and Service Cooperatives implementation, and $6 million per biennium for the Regional Math Network and the Summer Math Institute. Line 73 is an increase for museums and education centers for funds for low-income students to be able to attend. This has a cost of $1.562 million in the first biennium and $2.662 million in the second biennium. Line 74 includes funding for non-exclusionary discipline. This has a cost of $3.5 million in the first biennium and $3.5 million in the second biennium. Line 75 shows the online music instruction grant. This has funding of $300,000 in fiscal year 24 only. Line 76 shows paraprofessional paid orientation, and this has costs starting in fiscal year 25, and that is $7.23 million in fiscal year 25, with increasing costs into the tails for a total of $16.631 million in the tails. Line 77 is an appropriation to the Sine Foundation. This has a cost of $3 million in each biennium. Line 78 is the Walkabouts program, and this has an appropriation of $500,000 in the first biennium only. For a subtotal, the Education Excellence Program receives $78.509 million in increased funding in the first biennium and $70.425 million in increased funding in the second biennium. And Madam Chair, that is the Education Excellence article.
Thank you, Ms. Beckel. Members, are there any questions on the Education Excellence article? There's some good stuff in there. Not seeing any? All right. I know we did already adopt the next section, but did you want to, we don't need to walk through that then. The next two sections, actually, members. Just as a reminder, Ms. Beckel, Ms. Hofer has something to go to next then.
Madam Chair and committee members, again, Jenna Hofer on line 99 will begin the appropriations within the teacher's article, and this is on page 3 of your spreadsheets. The teacher's article is divided into two different appropriations sections. The first one is appropriations to the Department of Education, and the second is appropriations to the Professional Educator Licensing and Standards Board, or PELSB. We'll begin with the appropriations to MDE. On line 101 is an increase to the Alternative Teacher Compensation Aid Program, or QCOMP, as a result of increases to the pre-kindergarten program. This would be an increase of $651,000 in the first biennium and then $2.923 million in the second biennium. On line 102 is a grant to Black Men Teach. This is $1 million per biennium. On line 103 is the Closing Educational Opportunity Gaps Grant. This is $3 million in fiscal year 2024 and 2025 only for a biennial total of $6 million. On line 104 is an appropriation to the Coalition to Increase Teachers of Color and American Indian Teachers. This is $200,000 per biennium. On line 105 is an increase to the Come Teach in Minnesota program. This appropriation is transferred to the Special Revenue Fund. This would be $200,000 in fiscal year 2025. Then the 26-27 appropriation is $400,000 for the biennium. On line 106 is an increase to the Grow Your Own program. And I'll just note that in the original Senate position, this included the teacher residency program, but that has been broken out into a separate appropriation for the conference agreement. The Grow Your Own appropriation is transferred to the Special Revenue Fund. In the first biennium, this is $37 million, and in the second biennium, it's $50.922 million. On line 107 is an appropriation for licensure shortage areas or the special education teacher pipeline. This is a transfer to the Special Revenue Fund. This is $30 million in the first biennium and $10 million in the second biennium. On line 108 is an appropriation for the statewide teacher mentoring program. This appropriation is going to be available through June 30th of 2027. It is a one-time appropriation in fiscal year 2024 of $9.94 million. On line 109 is the student support personnel aid. In the first biennium, this is $64.408 million, and in the second biennium, this is $117.73 million. On line 110 is an appropriation that was associated with the original Senate position. On line 111 is an appropriation for Student Support Personnel Workforce Pipeline. This is $10 million per biennium. Line 112 is an appropriation for teacher licensing and exam fees. This appropriation is available through June 30th of 2027. It is a one-time appropriation of $1.4 million in fiscal year 2024. Line 113 is the program I referred to before that was originally part of the Senate position in Grow Your Own. It is now broken out into a separate appropriation, which aligns with the original House position. The teacher residency program is provided $6 million per biennium. Moving on to the appropriations to Pelsby. On line 115 is an appropriation for alternative pathways to licensure support. This is $300,000 per biennium. Line 116 is an appropriation to remove barriers to teacher licensure. This is $77,000 in fiscal year 2024 only. Line 117 is an increase to the Collaborative Urban and Greater Minnesota Educators of Color Grant Program. This is $8.88 million per biennium. Line 118 is an appropriation for heritage language and culture teachers. This is $416,000 per biennium. On line 119 is an appropriation for licensure via portfolio, the online platform. So these are IT costs. This would be $300,000 per biennium. Line 120 is an appropriation for licensure pathway preparation grants. This is $800,000 per biennium. On line 121 is an appropriation in fiscal year 2024 only for $20,000 for a report on increasing the number of teachers of color. On line 122 is an increase to the Teachers of Color Mentoring and Retention Grant. This is $1.008 million in the first biennium and $3.008 million in the second biennium. On line 123 is an increase to the recruitment marketing campaign of $500,000 per biennium. Line 124 provides the subtotal for the teachers article. In the first biennium, this is $179.1 million, and in the second biennium, this is $213.379 million. And with that, I will pass it over to Ms. Beckel for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Solveig Beckel, House Fiscal. The next section is special education, starting on line 126. Line 127 is funding for the separate sites and programs aid for settings 4 and higher. This has a cost of $9.461 million in the first biennium and $10.941 million in the second biennium. Line 128 is associated with the original House position. Line 129 is funding for the Registry of Interpreters for the Deaf Certified Interpreters. This has a cost of $333,000 in the first biennium and $879,000 in the second biennium. Line 130 is the Special Education Cross-Subsidy Reduction Aid. And in fiscal years 24, 25, and 26, this is at 44% of the cross-subsidy, and in fiscal year 27 and beyond, it is at 50%. This has a cost of $662,823,000 in the first biennium and $821,218,000 in the second biennium. Line 131 is special education homeless student transportation. This has a cost of $2.477 million in the first biennium and $2.98 million in the second biennium. Line 132 is special education foster student transportation. This has a cost of $519,000 in the first biennium and $1.204 million in the second biennium. Line 133 is the cost for the special education instruction being extended to age 22, but this time it's the cost related to the special education funding. I believe Ms. Hofer mentioned it earlier in the general education funding. It has two different funding streams, and so the majority of that is in the general education area, so this is just the smaller portion of that in special education. And that has a cost of $34,000 in fiscal years 24 and 25, and $78,000 in the TALES. Line 134, Ms. Hofer also mentioned briefly before when we were discussing the unemployment insurance costs. These are the interaction costs of paying for the unemployment aid for hourly school workers, and this has a cost of $128 million in the second biennium only. Line 135 is the cost for the pre-kindergarten program out of the special education formulas, and this has a cost of $1.089 million in the first biennium and $5.421 million in the second biennium. So the subtotal for special education costs in the first biennium is $676,736,000, and the subtotal in the second biennium is $970,721,000. Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Peckel. Members, are there any questions or comments on this section? Seeing none, then we'll go to the next one. Ms. Hofer.
Chair and members, again, Jenna Holford from Senate Council. On line 38 begins the facilities article appropriations. On line 139 is an appropriation for building and cybersecurity grants. This appropriation is available through June 30th of 2027. It's a one-time appropriation in fiscal year 2024 of $24.339 million. On line 140 is an appropriation for costs associated with renovating gender-neutral bathrooms. This is $2 million per biennium. On line 141 is an appropriation associated with the original Senate position. On line 142 is an increase to long-term facilities maintenance equalization aid as a result of the changes in the pre-kindergarten program. This would be an increase of $245,000 in the first biennium and $1.051 million in the second biennium. Line 143 is the facility subtotal in the first biennium. This is $26.584 million, and in the second biennium, this is $3.051 million.
Thank you, Ms. Hofer. Members, any questions or comments on that section? All right, we'll move on to the nutrition section. Ms. Beckel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The nutrition section starts on line 145. Below that, line 146, breakfast aid for early childhood special education students has a cost of $158,000 in the first biennium and in the second. Line 147, there are interactions with the pre-kindergarten program and school breakfast. Those costs are $204,000 in the first biennium and $1.51 million in the second biennium. Line 148, there are also costs with the pre-kindergarten program for school lunch, and those are $68,000 in the first biennium and $504,000 in the second biennium. The subtotal for nutrition is on line 149, and that is $430,000 in the first biennium and $2.172 million in the second biennium.
Thanks, Ms. Beckel. Members, any questions or comments on this section? Seeing none, Ms. Hofer.
Madam Chair and members, thank you again, Jenna Hofer from Senate Council. On line 151 begins the library's appropriations. Line 152 is an increase to the base for the basic system support for the regional libraries. This is an increase of $800 million in the first biennium and $8.917 million in the second biennium. And I'll just note that The increase in the second biennium is a result of language that'll be walked through a little bit later that would link the aid entitlement for the regional libraries to the basic formula allowance increases. Line 153 is a one-time appropriation for licensed library media specialists of $1 million in fiscal year 2024 only. Line 154 is an increase to multi-county, multi-type library systems of $1.4 million per biennium. And line 155 is a new aid, a school library aid. This is $45.234 million in the first biennium and $47.594 million in the second biennium. Line 156 is the library's subtotal. In the first biennium, this is $55.634 million, and in the second biennium, it's $57.911 million. Line 158 through 160 provide subtotals for the sections above. Line 158 is the general education total. This is the same as line 45, so this would be an increase of $1.005 billion in the first biennium and $1.772 billion in the second biennium. The other categorical totals on line 159 in the first biennium are $1.122 billion and $1.364 billion in the second biennium. So on line 160, your subtotal for K-12 education aids in the first biennium is $2.126 billion, and in the second biennium, it's $3.136 billion.
Thank you, Ms. Hofer. Members, any questions? I have one. Ms. Hofer, remind me again, which categoricals are linked to the base formula? Because I've been told like three times, as our side can attest, but I can never remember which ones.
Madam Chair and committee members, thank you. So the categoricals would be essentially everything that we've discussed up until this point, except the general education aid appropriations that we've talked about. So that would be everything from lines 47 through 156. Within there, the non-public pupil education aid, non-public pupil transportation aid, and now the basic system support for regional libraries are all linked to the formula allowance. Additionally, in the sections below, for early childhood education, the early childhood family education aid is also linked to the basic formula.
Thank you, Ms. Hofer. I couldn't remember if the transportation sparsity aid was also linked.
Madam Chair, yes, that is. There are also a number of the entitlements within the general education aid appropriation that are queued off of the formula allowance increase, such as transportation sparsity aid, as well as compensatory, thank you, the shared time aid, PSEO, and I'm realizing now that I missed tribal contract aid earlier as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Hofer. With that, we'll go to Ms. Bechtel for the next section.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Solveig Bechtel, House Fiscal. The next section is early childhood and family support. On line 164 starts the early education section. Of course, early education was carried in a separate conference committee, but one line was carried into this jurisdiction from the Senate bill on line 167, the formula allowance for the early childhood family education, which is another item that is linked to the formula, that was carried in this jurisdiction on the Senate side. But as you can see with the items in brackets in columns H through M, those items now are being carried in the early education bill. So the brackets indicate that they do not roll up into the totals. So that one is no longer in this committee jurisdiction, but if you'll turn to line 168, there is funding for early ed in this bill. There is a pre-kindergarten program one-time funding that is available until June 30, 2026. And this is one-time funding of $50 million in fiscal year 2025. That is now in this bill. And Madam Chair, I can continue through community education and lifelong learning, unless you'd like me to stop in between those.
Members, any questions on the early education? Otherwise, we'll move on. Seeing none, go ahead, Ms. Beckel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Line 172 is community education. On line 173, adults with disabilities, this program receives an increase of $1.065 million in the first biennium and $2.378 million in the second biennium. Line 174 shows after-school program grants, and this appropriation is available through June 30, 2027, and is $30 million in fiscal year 24. Line 175 shows a community education aid increase on top of the base funding. This has a cost of $4.835 million in the first biennium and $10.866 million in the second biennium. Line 176 below it shows part of the levy neutralization that was used to neutralize the levies. and this had a cost of $3.114 million in fiscal year 25, and then a total cost of $8.273 million in the second biennium. Line 177 shows the increase received by the Regional Neighborhood Partnership grants, which were renamed recently from the Tier 2 grants. And this increase is $1.84 million per biennium. And I can continue to lifelong learning unless you'd like me to pause.
Members, Representative Crescia.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Ms. Beckel. You're way faster than I am. I was doing math. If I could just go back to just very quickly, 168. My question is, there was no House position, there's no Senate, but suddenly we have $50 million. Do we have a, what is that tied to?
Ms. Beckel.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Crescia. So this funding is for the, is set aside as a reserve for the pre-kindergarten program. This was an agreement that was come to during the conference committee. And
thank you. Thank you, Ms. Becca. It'll be a little clearer when we get the language together, but basically it is money to expand some VPK seats in 2025. Thank you. Any other further questions? Ms. Beckel, proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On line 180, you will see lifelong learning. Line 181 shows the adult basic education aid increase, and this has a cost of $2.859 million in the first biennium and $4.113 million in the second biennium. Line 182 shows an increase for the high school equivalency tests appropriation, and this appropriation is available through June 30th of 2027, and it's a one-time increase in fiscal year 24 of $490,000, but again, available through 27. And the subtotal for lifelong learning is on line 183, and that subtotal is $3.349 million in the first biennium and $4.113 million in the second biennium. That means that our subtotal for early childhood and family support aids is $94.203 million in the first biennium and $27.47 million in the second biennium. The subtotal then for community and K through 12 education aid, so everything up until this point, is $2.22 billion for the first biennium and $3.164 billion in the second biennium. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, members. Any questions on this section? Seeing none, Ms. Sofer.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Again, Jenna Hofer from Senate Council. Line 189 begins the state agency article appropriations that Ms. Beckel and I will describe. The Department of Education appropriations begin on line 191. On line 193 is an increase to provide athletic race ethnicity data collection. This is $180,000 in the first biennium and $130,000 in the second biennium. On line 194 is funding for audit and internal control resources of $1.6 million per biennium. On line 195 is an operating adjustment for the Department of Education of $9.596 million in the first biennium and $9.984 million in the second biennium. On line 196 is administrative funding for the pre-kindergarten program, and you'll see that this item is bracketed in the conference committee agreement columns as this is being carried in the early education budget jurisdiction. On line 197 is the reasonable force reporting IT costs of $47,000 in fiscal year 2024 only. Line 198 is funding for the Department of Education to have a school health services specialist. This is $300,000 per biennium. On line 199 is funding for rulemaking associated with the specific learning disability criteria change. This is $1.146 million per biennium. On line 200, I have already mentioned that this is the administrative funding to the Department for Unemployment Aid. This is $450,000 in the first biennium and $350,000 in the second biennium. On line 201 is the Board of School Administrators funding for additional staffing and outreach of $128,000 per biennium. On line 202 is funding for the EdFi data collection system as well as data reporting. This is $3.204 million in the first biennium and $4.718 million in the second biennium. On line 203 is funding for staffing the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion, or EDI, Center at the department. This is $4 million per biennium. On line 204 is administrative funding for the ethnic studies requirements. This is $300,000 per biennium. On line 205 is funding for IT infrastructure and additional resources of $2 million in fiscal year 2024 only. And I'll just note that this was part of the governor's budget, and that is why it does not appear in the House or Senate columns. On line 206 is the litigation fees change. So this is a reduction in fiscal year 2022's appropriation by $1.5 million. This is canceled back to the general fund and then reappropriated with an additional $6 million for a total of $7.5 million in fiscal year 2024. On line 207 is funding for a mental health services lead at the Department of Education. This is $300,000 per biennium. And on line 208 is funding for the Office of the Inspector General at the Department of Education in the amount of $4 million per biennium. Line 209 is the Department of Education's subtotal. The total change from base in the 24-25 biennium is $34.751 million, and in the second biennium, it's $26.956 million.
Thank you, Ms. Hofer. Members, any questions on this section? Seeing none, go ahead, Ms. Beckel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Solveig Beckel, House Fiscal. On line 211 is the Professional Educator Licensing and Standards Board, or PELSB, appropriations. Line 212 is funding to increase PELSB staffing. This has a cost of $762,000 in the first biennium and in the second. Line 213 is an operating increase for PELSB. This has a cost of $538,000 in the first biennium and $682,000 in the second biennium. Line 214 is the Pelsby Board membership and stipend costs, and these costs are $134,000 in the first biennium and in the second biennium. On line 215, you will see the subtotal for Pelsby, and this subtotal is $1.434 million in the first biennium and $1.578 million in the second biennium.
Thank you, Ms. Beckel. Members, any questions? Seeing none, Ms. Hofer.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Line 217 begins the appropriations for the Minnesota State Academies for the Deaf and Blind. On line 218 is funding for an audiology booth and equipment. This is a one-time appropriation of $125,000 in fiscal year 2024. On line 219 is funding for a mental health day treatment program. This is $630,000 in the first biennium and $370,000 in the second biennium. Line 220 is an operating adjustment for the Minnesota State Academies. This is an increase of $3.647 million in the first biennium and $4.146 million in the second biennium. Line 221 provides funding for a safety and security technology initiative in the amount of $1.265 million in the first biennium and $825,000 in the second biennium. Line 222, I referenced earlier, this is funding to the Minnesota State Academies for unemployment aid for their eligible workers in the amount of $642,000 in each biennium. Line 223 is the stub total for the Minnesota State Academies. The change from their base is $6.309 million in the first biennium and $5.983 million in the second biennium.
Any questions, members? Otherwise, go ahead, Ms. Beckel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On line 225 is the Perpich Center for Arts Education appropriations. On line 226, there is an appropriation for classroom furniture. This is a one-time appropriation of $300,000 in fiscal year 24 only. On line 227 is a one-time appropriation for dormitory furniture. This has a cost of $850,000 in fiscal year 24 only. On line 228 is the Perpich operating increase. This has a cost of $1.416 million in the first biennium and $1.758 million in the second biennium. On line 229, you'll see similarly the unemployment costs for eligible workers, and this has a cost of $48,000 in each biennium. Line 230 shows the subtotal for Perpich Center for Arts Education changes over base, and this is $2.614 million in the first biennium and $1.806 million in the second biennium. And then the subtotal for the state agencies on line 232 is $45.108 million in the first biennium and $36.323 million in the second biennium, with savings of $1.5 million garnered in fiscal in the biennium of 22-23. So the total general fund K through 12 appropriations are savings of $1.5 million in the fiscal years 22-23 biennium, and then $2,265,600,000 in the first biennium and $3.2 billion in the second biennium.
Thank you, Ms. Beckel. Members, any questions before we move to the last section? Ms. Hofer.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I will walk through the remainder of the spreadsheet for you. On line 237 begins changes to the Special Revenue Fund. Ms. Beckel and I have already noted the increases to the four appropriations shown within this fund, which are the Minnesota Indian Teacher Training Prep Grants, the Come Teach in Minnesota program, the Grow Your Own program, and then the Licensure Shortage Area Special Education Pipeline. You'll see two sections within the Special Revenue Fund here. Lines 239 through 244 show the expenditure authority for these programs, while lines 246 through the top of page 7, line 251, show the revenues. So essentially, these four programs receive general fund appropriations, and those funds are transferred to the Special Revenue Fund in lines 246 through 251. So you'll see the revenue authority there. For the first biennium, this totals $70.01 million, and for the second biennium, it's a total of $62.522 million. Then on lines 239 through 244, you'll see that expenditure authority in the exact same amount, which leaves a net total of zero per biennium, as the expenditure authority equals the revenue authority. And you can see that net fund change on the top of page 7 on line 253. And there's one final change within the Restricted Special Revenue Fund. And so this would be expenditure authority on line 258 for the Department of Education to spend online learning fee revenue that they collect. So currently, the Department of Education is able to collect fees for reviewing online learning applications, but there's no authority to spend that money. And so in the 24-25 biennium, this is $36,000, and in the second biennium, it's $14,000 of expenditure authority. And because the revenue is already there, this is just new expenditure authority. You'll see that on line 261, the change item total for the fund is $36,000 in the first biennium and $14,000 in the second biennium. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Hofer, and I just want to thank our fiscal staff. You are amazing. I don't want to say you're human calculators, but you kind of are, and you're able to explain this to those of us who didn't do great in math. So I just want to get that out there before we move on, and just thank you for all your time and energy, especially with so many different moving targets when you had the House and the Senate, and we were making decisions together. And changing things up, and just thank you for your flexibility. And I know Chair Kunesh wanted to say something as well.
This is the first time chairing a committee, and I really didn't quite have a full understanding or comprehension of the work that goes on behind the scenes. And I just have to say how utterly in awe I am of all of you and the ability to calculate and recalculate and always, you know, with a smile on your face, and nobody's dragging their feet or complaining. And we really just want to say how much we do appreciate all of you and the work that you do.
With that, members, yes, that does deserve clapping. We can clap in committee. And we can also, I didn't ask if the rule applies to all Senate committees. We can still drink at the table, right? Okay. So, folks, were there any final questions on the spreadsheet before we move on? Besides the fact that we're all very excited. With that, I think we will move on to starting on our articles, and how this will go is how we've done it before. We will look at the amendments first and have those explained, and move and adopt them, you know, answer questions, and then move and adopt them. And then we will move on to walking through the map, the section map, and then we will adopt that section map as amended. And at the start, I want to say this, and we'll say it at the end tomorrow too, nonpartisan staff are authorized to make needed technical changes to conform with the conference committee's intent. So I am now handing that out over to the other chair, who will say it at the end. And
Holly's
going to hold on to it. Okay. Do we have to do it after every section? No.
No, but we need to formally adopt it once.
Oh, we need to formally adopt this one. So should we do that now?
No.
No, at the end. Okay. That was a precursor. So first up, we are going to do, we're going to go to Article 7. If folks want to have it, and thank you to the pages who did a fantastic job organizing the amendments with
section map right in front in your packets. So we will move or look at Amendment A34, Article 7, Amendment A34. And I will move that amendment before us. And who is going to explain that for us? I think it's a House article. Would that be Mr. Strong?
Madam Chair, members, the 834 amendment makes two technical changes to the provision that authorizes the third-party billing for social work services. Those were the technical suggestions from the Department of Human Services.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Any questions on this amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A34 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. A34 amendment for Article 7 is adopted. Next up, members, we have Amendment A85. Who has this one? It's House Amendment. Ms. Para. Oh, don't forget to, I keep forgetting to turn on my microphone.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The A85 amends the Standards for Restrictive Procedures section, and the House and Senate had different language coming into committee with respect to a prohibition on seclusion for children birth to grade 3. And so this amends the House language, so that would go into effect September 1, 2024.
Does anybody have a question on that amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. The amendment A85 for Article 7 is adopted. Next up, we have Amendment A89. Who has that one?
Madam Chair, members, the A89 amendment sets the special education cross-subsidy amounts at the amounts that Ms. Beckel spoke to when walking through the fiscal worksheet.
Thank you, members. We have I'll move the A89 before us. Does anybody have any questions on that? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A89 amendment to Article 7, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. The A89 is adopted. Next up, we have the A90 amendments. Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, the House provision has to do with the rulemaking for the specific learning disability rule, and this is a small amendment to that process. Just changes some terminologies to make it slightly improved over what was in the original language.
Thank you. Members, any questions on the A90 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A90 amendment to Article 7, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. A90 amendment's adopted. Next up, we have the A47 amendment. Ms. Hofer.
Madam Chair and members, the A47 amendment makes a technical change to the section that would allow certified deaf interpreters in the classroom. And so what this does is originally the section required certified deaf interpreters to be provisionally certified, but instead what this would do would allow continuing education credits of up to 40 hours through a RID certified program to be used and then receive the provisional certification.
Thank you, Ms. Hofer. Any other questions on the A47 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say no. The A47 amendment to Article 7 is adopted. Members, we are done with the amendments for Article 7. Now we'll move to the section map. And Mr. Straub's going to start with that.
Madam Chair, members, the one-page section map in front of you shows the provisions proposed for adoption tonight. In the third-to-last column, provision proposed, you can see whether the provision is from the House or the Senate bill. You've been through all these provisions. Let me just group them real quickly. There's about six changes that have to do with raising the age of the student with a disability to the 22 years of age. The other ones I'll just mention briefly. The certified deaf interpreter section is Section 3, the one we just discussed with the amendment. The next section probably to point out is the restrictive procedures provision that Ms. Pera spoke to. Then there's the funding provisions in this article, and there are two sets. There's the inclusion of the funding for 100% of the homeless pupil transportation funding, and including in that category the foster students as well for all districts, and then the increase in the cross-subsidy aid. Finally, the last section is on the list is the fourth from the bottom, the special education funding for the separate sites and programs. This is essentially the additional funding for the level four sites, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Members, before us is Article 7, sections as amended. Are there any questions or comments or thoughts on special education? Senator McQuaid.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I want to just speak to this historic investment that we are making in special education. We have heard from districts year after year, decade after decade, about the unfunded work that has been left behind in large part from the federal government. And we know that they have not kicked in their share. And we know that the cross-subsidy has pitted gen ed students against special ed students, which is contrary to everything that people in our public schools believe. And so by eliminating or taking a deep, deep chunk away from that huge cross-subsidy, this is going to be so transformative for our schools. I'm also really, really proud of the work that we have done to ensure that students have right to recess, that students have, the right to not be, like babies, not be put in rooms alone, and they have support there while they're going through whatever they're going through. So this is just a really, really big deal. And I know we're tired. We've all been here for a really long time. And so we've been sitting with the details and we've heard the bills over and over. And so it's easy for this moment to just kind of pass us by. Because, like, of course we came here to do this. We've been talking about it all year. But this moment is big. And I want to thank both of you for the work that you did in your respective committees and the work that we did in our respective chambers to get to this moment. So I want to say thank you.
Thank you, Senator McQuaid. Thank you for grounding us in this moment, because it is big. The special education investments we're making in this bill equal about 4% on the formula. So they equal 4% on the formula. So that's just about, big, some big math there. So members, any other thoughts? All right. Let me make sure I get this right. We are going to adopt Article 7 as amended. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Article 7 as amended, with nonpartisan staff authorized to make needed technical changes to conform with the conference committee intent. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Article 7 as amended has been adopted. Now that we got that done, we are going to move now to Article 8. So, members, it has no amendments, so we are going to go right through the sections. And who's going to walk through Article 8? The section map.
Madam Chair, Mr. Strom. I'm happy to speak to Article 8. This is the facilities article. There are no amendments proposed for this article for these provisions. There's a couple of different sets of provisions. Let me just go through perhaps in the order they're listed on the page. The first of those allows intermediate districts and other cooperative districts to include their deferred maintenance costs within the costs of the member district for purposes of long-term facilities maintenance revenue. The next three sections are also changes to the long-term facilities maintenance revenue, and these are the changes regarding the single-user gender-neutral bathrooms. And there's three parts of these, as we discussed earlier. For planning purposes, the LTFM plan, which is a 10-year plan, includes the district's future plans for gender-neutral single-user restrooms. Section 3, then, or the third one, rather, listed on this list, listed as Section 9, authorizes the school districts to use their existing LTFM revenue to convert in one building, in each building, one to make one single-user restroom in each building. Those are the third and fourth sections listed on this document. And then the fifth section listed, Section 11 on the House side, this is the review and comment process. And for any construction project over $2 million, the school district will be required on its review and comment to include information about how it intends to address privacy and single-use restrooms and shower stalls and locker room facilities. Madam Chair, Section 12, then, is a similar kind of use of the operating capital and makes explicit that that can be used for the single-user restrooms as well. Then the Section 13 is the provision for the lease authority. Right now, the cooperative school districts may include their lease authority in the building lease authority for up to another $65 per pupil. This authorizes the remaining cooperatives to do the same thing. Section 14 is the provision that requires the building projects that are done through the lease purchase, which are the school districts with the first-class city school districts with integration plans, requires these lease purchase projects to also go through the review and comment process, just like all other school building plans do. Section 15 is the Safe Schools revenue. No change in the revenue on this provision, but makes the cybersecurity expenditures an allowable cost for the existing revenue amount. Section 17, the recommendation is the Senate language here, the time-limited use for the Moorhead and Fergus Falls school districts to use their long-term facilities maintenance revenue for purposes of the air quality improvements in the big box stores that they are converting. The last two sections on the Senate side are the fund transfer for the Moorhead Area School District, and then the appropriations that are being proposed in this article are those that Ms. Beckel and Ms. Hofer discussed at that portion of the spreadsheet. So, Madam Chair, that's a quick summary of Article 8.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Article 8. Are there any questions on Article 8? Any comments or thoughts? Seeing none, I'd make a quick one, which I also am very excited about, and that is being able to give districts some money to help with creating gender-neutral bathrooms and locker rooms. I think this is a big step forward, and it will be helpful for our districts as they're looking at plans of building new schools in the future as well. So with that, members, Article 8. We will move to adopt and have nonpartisan staff authorized to make needed technical changes to conform with the conference committee's intent. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The Article 8 is adopted. And members, we are going to take like a 2-minute break to stand up and stretch as our pages hand out the rest of the Article 2 amendments. And I figured we all need to stand up for a minute. With an updated agenda with the updated list. Welcome back. I will try not to let a five-minute break turn into 10 again. We've got lots of work to do. Sorry about that. Members, we are on to Article 2, and you have some additional amendments that came with you. We're going to actually do them in numerical order, if that helps you. And then we also have a new agenda for you to be able to follow along. So for Article 2, our first amendment is A47. Ms. Para.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Christina Para from House Research. The A47 amendment is for the definitions in the world's best workforce. It does a few things. One is, discussed yesterday, takes the third grade literacy out of the world's best workforce because that's now in the literacy plan. And then makes changes to the other definitions. The House and Senate had different definitions coming into conference committee. So the definition of anti-racist that you see here is different from what both the House and Senate had. The definition of institutional racism will be what the Senate had coming into conference committee.
Thank you, members. Any questions on the A47 amendment? I'll move it before us. Any questions on the A47 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A47 amendment say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Wow, the A47 amendment for Article 2 is adopted. Next up, we have the A57 amendment.
Madam Chair, members, the A57 amendment amends the corporal punishment statute. In particular, it adds a couple of new sentences that you see here about subdivision 2A is about prone restraints, and it says that it's not per se corporal punishment under the statute, and some other language referencing two other statutes about reasonable force.
Members, any questions on the A57 amendment? The A57 amendment to Article 2, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Article 2, A57 amendments adopted. The A58 amendment. Ms. Para.
Madam Chair and members, the A58 amendment amends the K-3 dismissal that was different between the House and Senate. This amends the House language and adds a new paragraph saying that that section does not apply to a dismissal that is for less than one school day.
I'll move the A58 amendment before us. Anybody have any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. The A58 amendment to Article 2 is adopted. Next up, the A60 amendment.
Madam Chair, members, the A60 amendment is another world's best workforce section relates to the plans and budgets. House and Senate had different language coming into conference committee, so this takes the Senate language but adds a paragraph that was in the House language. That's the number 8 that you see here, and also adds language that was from the READ Act, taking literacy out of the world's best workforce plans.
Thank you, members. I'll move the A60 amendment before us. Any questions? All those in favor say yes or aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. The A60 amendment to Article 2 is adopted. Next up, we have the A62 amendment.
Madam Chair, members, the A62 amendment amends the definition of non-exclusionary disciplinary policies and practices. There's some language that is out, that has been taken out, specifically with regards to removing a pupil from school, 504 plans, and special ed referrals, and some language that was duplicative of other language in the bill.
Thank you, Ms. Para. Representative Clardy, would you like to move this A62 amendment before us?
So moved.
The A62 amendments before us, members, are there any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A62 amendment to Article 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. The A62 amendment to Article 2 is adopted. Members, now we're on to the A63 amendment. Ms. Para, you're busy tonight.
Thank you, Madam Chair members. The A63 amendment amends two sections that were in the House bill relating to, the first is relating to a Holocaust genocide of indigenous peoples and other genocide education, and the other relating to a working group on education on the Holocaust and genocide.
Senator Swedinsky, would you like to move this amendment before us? Senator Swedinsky moves the A63 amendment. All those in favor, any questions? All those in favor of the A63 amendment to Article 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. The A63 amendment's adopted. Next up, we have the A64 amendment.
Madam Chair, members, the A64 amendment amends it's section 54 in the House of the House bill. House and Senate had same language. It amends the achievement and integration plan, and this just corrects a reference to ethnic studies, which is defined in a different section of law than what was in the bill.
Thank you. I'll move the A64 amendment before us. Members, are there any questions? All those in favor of the A64 amendment to Article 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. The A64 amendment to Article 2 is adopted. Next up, we have the A66 amendment.
Madam Chair, members, the A66 amendment amends the House language on malicious and sadistic conduct. Two changes. Generally, it reorganizes the section to just read a little bit better and more easily. And then it also adds gender identity is defined in Chapter 363A.
Thank you. I'll move the A66 amendment before us. Members, any questions on the A66 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A66 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. The A66 amendment's adopted. Next up, we have the A67 amendment.
Madam Chair, members, the A67 amendment amends the recess section that both bodies carried into conference committee. It just substitutes schoolwork for homework.
Thank you. very technical. Ms. Barrett, the A67 amendment before us. Any questions, please? Any questions? None? Okay. All those in favor to the A67 amendment to Article 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? No. A67 amendment is adopted. Next up, we have the A68.
Madam Chair, members, the A68 amends the Computer Science Education Advancement Program section in the House bill. And it amends the dates that apply to the working group.
Members, I'll move the A68 amendment before us. Anybody have any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The A68 amendment to Article 2 is adopted. Next up, we have the A69 amendment.
Madam Chair, I don't think the A69 was intended for today because it relates to the teachers article.
Oh, Article 5. We will pull that out. Sorry about that. We will save that paper for later. Now we have the A73 amendment.
Madam Chair, members, the A73 amendment has to do for the reimbursement for the paraprofessional training. The hourly requirement in the amendment is 8 hours for the reimbursement amount. And instead of it being a per pupil or per staff person formula, it's a reimbursement formula in part because of the interplay with the special education system. So this amendment essentially turns that into a reimbursement program based on the district's prior year costs for up to 8 hours of the time spent in orientation and professional development.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. This I will move this amendment gladly, A73. It's a bill I've been working on for about 3 years. So are there any questions on the A73 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. The A73 amendment to Article 2 is adopted. Next up, we have, do we have an A76?
It should have been.
I'm not seeing.
and A76 amendments. Members, the A76 amendment was adopted. Oh, there we go. We found it. It's the 69. It's on the back side. Okay. So the A69 that we didn't do, it's on the back side of that. That's why I was confused. So the A76 amendment, Ms. Pera.
Madam Chair, members, the A76 amendment amends the World's Best Workforce District Advisory Committee subdivision adds language about reflecting the diversity of student population.
Thank you, members. I will move the A76 amendment before us. Anybody have any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A76 amendment to Article 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign. Opposed? Same sign. The A76 amendment to Article 2 is adopted. Next up, we have the A77 amendment.
Madam Chair, members, the A77 amendment amends three sections in the bill. The first is the definition of ethnic studies. The House and Senate had slightly different definitions coming into conference committee, and this one is a combination of both. The second section is the ethnic studies requirements section, and it makes several changes, including removing the rulemaking and the school needs assessment subdivisions. The next section is the ethnic studies working group. It also makes changes relating to rulemaking and the duties of the working group.
Thank you. Senator Chair Kunesh, would you like to move this amendment?
So moved.
Senator Kunesh moves the A77 amendment before us. Are there any questions on the A77 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A77 amendment to Article 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign.
No.
All those, the A77 amendment as it is adopted for Article 2. Article 2, A78 amendments.
Ms. Pera. Madam Chair, members, the A78 amendment amends the credit equivalency section. This language relates to ethnic studies courses being a credit equivalency for ethnic studies courses.
Senator Chair Kunesh, would you like to move the A78 amendment before us?
So moved.
The A78 amendment is before us. Anybody have any questions? Members, all those in favor of the A78 amendment to Article 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say no. The A78 amendment to Article 2 is adopted. Members, now we have the A79 amendment.
Madam Chair, members, the A79 amendment amends Section 60 of the House bill. The House and Senate had different language relating to this pilot program that Pillsbury United Communities would run. And the language that you see here is closer to the House language, makes some changes, in particular changes relating to the duties of the Department of Education.
Thank you, Ms. Pera. Do we have any questions, members, on this amendment? I will move the A80 amendment before us. All those in favor, the A79 amendment before us. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say no.
No.
The A79 amendment is adopted. Now we have the A80 amendment, members.
Madam Chair, members, the A80 amendment is a slight rewrite of the provisions in the bills to ensure that the students with a disability can continue in the graduation incentives program until they are 22 years of age.
Members, I will move the A80 amendment before us. Are there any questions on the A80 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor for the A80 amendment for Article 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say no. The A80 amendment for Article 2 is adopted. Members, the last one we have is the A35 amendment. Ms. Pera, Ms. Lewis.
Madam Chair, members, the A35 is a combination of the repealers from both the House and Senate. In addition to what the House carried, the Senate had the repealer of the civics test.
Got it. Members, any questions on the A-35 amendment?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. So I just want to clarify, is the repealer of the civics test included in this amendment? Is that what I heard you say?
Ms. Lewis.
Madam Chair and Senator Duckworth, correct.
Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was hoping that that one would squeak through and not get repealed. That's why I asked. So I'm just a little disappointed that we're taking out the civics test, but I'm not going to make an issue of it. But Senator Swierczynski, maybe that's something that we can talk about a little bit later. Thank you.
Senator Swierczynski.
I would enjoy that conversation.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, with that, with the A-35 amendment before us, I'll represent Kreshaw.
And Senator, what was your conversation understanding on this? I just clarifying the conversation.
Yeah.
Senator Swierczynski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have the civics test in, and I'll be the first to say if we make our naturalized citizens take the citizenship test, maybe we should also make our native-born citizens, or you, take the same test. So that was where my head was at one time. And then the reason we made the test mandatory was because we weren't requiring civics. So Representative Bertol and I thought, well, let's require a test to graduate so we can show the people of Minnesota that the test scores are pretty bad and we need to require a civics class that will elevate the level of standards and curriculum to a level that is acceptable. And there would be no need to have the civics test as we saw after taking the civics class, because the civics test is remedial in difficulty, and after a 9-week or 18-week, whatever the local school districts decide to offer as a class, the kids will hopefully be above and beyond what is the normal citizenship.
Thank you. I represent Kreshaw.
Just in conversations with Representative Erdahl and the work he's done, it was my understanding we weren't going to do this repealer, but it's here now. I would just speak out against this. I'll be voting no. I mean, here's what I would say. There are plenty of issues where we've said, let's just get this through and fix it next time if we have to. This is one issue where I think I would ask that we could just take this amendment, set aside, and include it and say, well, why don't we just look at it next year? But so I'll be voting no, and I'll just leave it there.
Thank you. Senator Swierczynski, did you have an answer?
No, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. With that, Representative Pryor.
Thank you. I think now that we are actually requiring a whole course, we're going much beyond a multiple choice test. And that as we, you know, chatting with Senator Swierczynski on this particular item, our students will be tested. It's not like because they are going to be part of these classes. And so to add just another test because we did it in the past, we're changing how we do civics in Minnesota. And according to Representative Erdahl and Senator Swierczynski, this is so needed, and it will be game-changing for participation in democracy. So instead of just loading on tests that has no consequence. I mean, you take the test, it doesn't matter to your graduation, doesn't matter to anything. You just take the test, you spend the time in the classroom taking this test with all these other tests, and it doesn't go anyplace. But now, we've changed the requirement for civics, and I think you might hear floor speeches coming up about what's happened and what'll be in this bill. And I think you're going to feel really good about not seeing that test anymore, but seeing the civics requirements going forward. So that's what I was persuaded, went along with it. And that's something I think that we can be proud of.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as someone, I think maybe Senator Duckworth and I might have graduated from high school the same year. So as one of the two people who was in high school the most recent, what I can tell you about the civics test is that all that happened is that we were given it at the beginning of our class in ninth grade, and then we were given our score, and then we moved on because it wasn't actually tied to anything that we were learning. And now that we have a civics course, it's not just can you answer, 50 or 100 of these questions accurately. Maybe you take it again at the end of the trimester, semester, quarter, whatever you're on. But there's actually going to be a course that is deeply digging into civics in the United States and what that means to be a citizen. And so I think that is the purpose of this. I think we were using that as a stand-in, that, like, this is a moment where we're going to have their eyes on something that's about civics, and now that we don't have to just, like, get their attention for, you know, 30 minutes, we're actually going to teach the whole thing. We can take that stand-in away. And so I'm very convinced. I know that we didn't use it. And also we have to acknowledge, too, that, like, a lot of our students are naturalized citizens and have already taken the test, too. And so it's actually not really even serving a purpose there as well, because, you know, some of our, not all of our students were born in the United States. So I think this is an indicative of a good move and not a net negative thing. It's a positive moment that's indicating where we're going.
Thank you, Senator McQuaid. With that, we have the A35 amendment before us. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
The A35 amendment to Article 2 is adopted. With that, we will move to the Article 2 map. If nonpartisan staff wants to walk through this or add anything.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The first section here, Section 4 on the House side and 3 on the Senate, is the academic standards, and that includes striking out that civics test the committee was just discussing. The next eight sections are ones that were amended by the amendments just reviewed. These relate to World's Best Workforce, ethnic studies, Holocaust and genocide education, and malicious and sadistic conduct. Then Section 23 on the House side and Section 1 on the Senate side relates to multi-tiered systems of support and compass. And excuse me, that was the same in both bills. The next section is Senate Section 4, and it's a credit for employment with healthcare providers, and that's proposed for adoption. Then the definition of non-exclusionary discipline that was amended by the A62. And then there are a number of discipline provisions that follow. Generally, these were either the same or very similar. One I'll point out, the K-3 dismissal was amended by the A-58. And the corporal punishment section was amended by the A-57. So that brings us to Section 40, the paraprofessional training, and that was amended by the A-73 that Mr. Strom reviewed. The full-service community schools is Section 50 on the House side and Section 3 on the Senate side. Those were the same, and this proposes going adopting the Senate language. Section 51 on the House side relates to the definition of English learners or English learners with limited or interrupted formal education. House and Senate had the same language there, and House's language is proposed for adoption. The eligible pupils, that was amended by the A80 amendment that Mr. Strom reviewed. The Section 54, the achievement and integration language, is amended by the A64. And then the Innovative Incubator Service Learning Grants, that was Senate language that is being proposed for adoption. That was Section 7. The Individualized Education Program section, House and Senate had similar education there that relates to paraprofessional time to review to review the IEPs. Section 58 is the Ethnic Studies Working Group. That was amended by the A-77. Section 59 is the Computer Science Education Advancement Program. That was amended by the A-68. Section 60 was similar to the Section 8 on the Senate side that related to that pilot program, and that was amended by the A-79. The Holocaust and Genocide Education Working Group is Section 61, and that was amended by the A-63. And finally, the repealer that Ms. Lewis reviewed for you. And Madam Chair, those are the provisions in Article 2.
Thank you, Ms. Para. Members, are there any questions about the different sections or comments anybody wants to chat about? Seeing none. Members, with adding that nonpartisan staff are authorized to make needed technical changes to conform with the conference committee's intents. Before us, we have Article 2 as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The Article 2 as amended has been adopted. Members, we will move on to Article 9, I believe. Make sure I'm in the right spot. And members, these copies wouldn't have been in your green sleeves. They were handed out separately in case you're trying to find them. And we will move on to those amendments. First up, we have Amendment 71.
Madam Chair and members, Betsy Gelseth, nonpartisan analyst for the Senate. The Amendment 71 relates to fixing or just clarifying that the school lunch aid amounts are stay at the current 12.5 cents for each full paid. For each full paid reduced price and free lunch student. So this is just clarifying language for the districts related to the school lunch program.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on that? With that, members, we have the A71 amendment to Article 9. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All the opposed say no. The A71 amendment has been adopted. Next up, we have the A84 amendment. Who's going to talk? Ms. Chelsea.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The A84 is related to House Article 9, Section 4. And all this does is remove some language, again, just clarifying for the summer food service program, and then also adds a new subdivision that the summer food service program providers, including new applicants, must comply with all applicable federal training requirements for their staff.
Any questions, members?
Any questions, members? I will move the A84 amendment before us. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say no. The A84 amendment to Article 9 is adopted. And I have A45 on our list, but I have an A40 in front of me. Do we know?
Madam Chair,
Ms.
You will want to use the A45. That is an update of the A40. So the A40 should not have been included in your packets, and I'm sorry about that.
Okay, members, we do not have the A45 in front of us then. We will.
I think our great pages handed that out.
Thank you. I don't have it. I am fine. I will find it somewhere. I will look at. Now I have it in front of me. There you go. Who is going to go through that?
Madam Chair.
Ms. Chelsea.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This our amendment, the A45, relates to the Senate provision from Article 9. Section 7, the school library aid, and all this does is updates the amounts to align with the appropriation amounts for the school library aid given to school districts and charter schools.
Thank you, Ms. Chelsea. Chair Kunish, would you like to move this amendment before us?
So moved.
We have the A45 amendment before us. Members, any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A45 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say no. The A45 amendment to Article 9 is adopted. We've gone through the amendments for Article 9. Now we'll go through the section map. Ms. Chelsea.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the section map for Article 9, nutrition and libraries. House Article 9, Section 1 relates to the Federal Child and Adult Care Food Program and Federal Summer Food Service Program. That was the same in both bodies. Moving on to Section 3. That was also the same in both bodies, expanding the school breakfast program to include an early childhood special education student who participates in a voluntary pre-kindergarten program. Section 4 had a little bit different language, and the House had an immediate effective date, and we are taking the House language on this related to, the summer food service program and child and adult care food program. House Section 9, Senate Section 12 is the same, local library supports. And then starting with The next provision was a Senate-only provision related to the school or library systems, and just moving to that page here. So this relates to the system of libraries and increases the basic system support aid by 1+ the % increase in the basic formula allowance from the previous year to the current year for those library regional library systems. And that, again, was Senate only, and we're adopting the Senate language. The next three sections were the same in both the Senate and House. House Section 10, 11, and 12 still relating to the regional library systems. Moving on to Senate Section 7 was the school library aid only provision, and we took the Senate's school library aid and just updated the amounts with that A45 that was just adopted. House Section 13 and 14 both relate to adjusting laws from 2023 related to the voluntary pre-kindergarten program. And then lastly, Section 15, the appropriations, was reviewed by Ms. Beckel and Ms. Holford.
Thank you. Thank you, members. Are there any other questions on Article 9 sections? Or Article 9 sections, yes. This Senator Kunesh, would you like to talk about what's in Article 9?
I need a copy of Article 9, to tell you the truth. I have not found one. I know it's all the good it's all the good stuff. Food and libraries, what could be better? But, you know, I think we can all recognize that attention to our school libraries and to our multi-purpose libraries and the public libraries has really slipped by the side for a long, long time. And in this really crucial moment when we have an issue with literacy, and, of course, literacy just doesn't mean reading books, or the ability to read books. It means being able to take in information, digest it, and then use it succinctly in the ways that it needs to be used. And as a library media specialist of 20 years and a lifelong library user and lover of learning and the continual curiosity to find answers and learn about new things, I think that this investment in the whole library system from the schools all the way through the public schools and multi-use is really going to make a difference. And I've heard from a lot of people what a difference it has made, especially during the COVID time, when our libraries stayed not open but active, where you could actually reserve books and they'd put them in bags and you could pick them up. And there was this resurgence of understanding what a valuable asset it is to community, not just to get that books and magazines and videos and those sort of things, but it also provides a place for communities to come together in a very social and positive way. And so this investment in our libraries is food for our brain, and it's so important that we are providing the programming we have for summer foods, for our school breakfast system, and then to make sure that we are feeding our children in the best way possible. And so I'm just very proud of Article 9 in this bill.
Thank you, Chair Kunesh. With that, members, we have Article 9 as amended before us. All those in favor say aye. Members, we have Article 9 before us as amended, and I will direct nonpartisan staff are authorized to make needed technical changes to conform with the conference committee's intent. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Say no. Article 9 is amended as adopted. With that, members, we will move on to Article 11. First, we'll go over the amendments. And with that, I think the first amendment we have is the A46 amendment. Ms. Jelzak.
Madam Chair, I can review the two amendments for this article and then the map. So the A46 relates to the Community Education Aid and Levy Section 1 and 2 of the bill And what this does is it updates the amounts, so rather than 542 in current law per pupil, in population pupil, it increases that amount to $6.35, and then the numbers below that on lines 1.5 and 1.6 adjust the tax rate to make sure that the levy is neutral, but we also incorporated the adjusted net tax capacity, 3.5 to 4 million for fiscal years 25 through 27 in community education levies instead. So that's what this amendment does. Rather, so we're not going to use operating capital for that. But
thank you, Ms. Joseph. I'll move the A46 amendment before us. Any questions on the A46 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A46 amendment to Article 11, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Article 11, A46 amendment is adopted. Next up, we have A48. Ms. Joseph.
The A48 adjusts the adults with disabilities amounts, and the House and Senate had different amounts for this, and so we took the Senate language and increased that per pupil by the population again from 30 cents per, or sorry, 67 cents per pupil to 30 cents per pupil.
With that, members, any questions on the A48 amendments? I will move the A48 amendment before us. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The A48 amendment for Article 11 is adopted. Ms. Jelseth, please go through the Article 11 map.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. House Article 11, Sections 1 and 2 were different than the Senate for the general education community, or sorry, general community education program. And so Section 1 related to the revenue and Section 2 related to the levy. So the A46 amendment updated those amounts. The Section 3 was the same in both bodies related to the after-school learning program. Section 4 was different between the House and Senate, and we did take the Senate language. So with the Senate language, we increased the state total adult basic education aid for fiscal year 2024 to 52.781 million, plus any amount that was not paid during the previous year due to formula cap limits. And that section also set the state total adult basic education aid growth factor to equal the lesser of 1.03 or the greater of 1 plus the percent change in the formula allowance from 1 year to the next. And then moving on to Sections 5 and 6, both bodies had the same, and Section 5 related to the Adult Basic Education Program aid limit, and Section 6 related to extending the high school equivalency test and for fiscal year 2023 to 2027. The next difference was Section 7, and this related to the Adults with Disabilities Program and that A48 amendment, which both bodies were different in the amounts and the way they paid for those amounts, and we took the Senate language. Just the levy, the technical aspect of the levy was a little different. And then moving on to House Section 8, that was the same related to updating the names of the two education partnership grants. And then the Senate only are the next two sections, Section 9 and 10, and then those also relate to making technical changes to the education partnerships, the names. And then lastly, is the appropriations.
Thank you, Ms. Jelseth. Chair Kunish.
Once again, I'm very proud of this section especially and the investment that we are making in the after-school community education and the adult basic education. This has been one area. These are a couple of areas, again, that have been severely underfunded for some a decade or more, and yet they've been continuing to provide those high-quality opportunities for continued education in the communities, once again providing that really basic option for adults to come together, to learn new things, to share their experiences and the knowledge that they share. And this is just such an important, vital part of our community and the continuing ability to educate ourselves and learn about each other, but also to participate within the community. So very proud of this section as well. And as you can see, these are all Senate proposals, and very happy that the House took them all.
Thank you, Chair Kunesh, and I just want to say, too, as well, the last few years really highlighted some of the gaps we have in our social safety net, but it also highlighted some of the strengths we have. And one of those was our after-school programming. I'm glad that we could add some more money into that this year. And also with the educational partnerships that we have, it really brings our in the classroom connected to the community and the parents and their involvement, and does a lot of that wraparound service providing. So I'm very happy that we could make some strong investments this year, and I'm sure it won't be the last time. Members, any other thoughts about Article 11 as amended? With that, members, I will move Article 11 before us as amended and on, direct nonpartisan staff to authorize to make needed technical changes to conform with the conference committee's intent. All those in favor of Article 11 as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. Article 11 is adopted as amended. Members, we are on the last article of the night, I believe. We will move on to Article 12. And we have some amendments with that. Huh? One. We just have one amendment. So with that, we have the A96 amendment. And who's going to go through the A96 amendment? Looks like a House one. Ms. Parra.
Madam Chair, members, Christina Parra from House Research. The A96 amendment amends language in the first two sections of the article relating to athletic programs and sex discrimination. The language adds in a minute. The new language is about race and ethnicity, but this amendment, changes both sexes to each sex.
Thank you. Senator McQuaid, would you like to move this amendment? Senator McQuaid moves this amendment. Any questions on this amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A96 amendments, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say no. The A96 amendment to Article 12 is adopted. And with that, we'll go through the Article 12 map.
Madam Chair and members, Article 12, as I said, the first two sections relate to athletic programs and equal opportunity, and there's new language that you see there relating to inequities based on race or ethnicity. The next section being proposed for adoption is Senate language relating to a licensed school nurse at the Department of Education. Next is the reasonable force standard. The House and Senate had similar language that with a different date, a different school year to begin reporting, and this proposes the Senate language, which had the later year. The next six sections relate to the PELSBY, the Professional Educator Licensing and Standards Boards. These were House-only language, and these sections relate, they modify the composition of the board, modify the compensation of the board members, and provide for reimbursement to districts for the cost of substitute teachers for the board members. Section 10 was the same for both House and the Senate. That related to the Minnesota State Academies keeping rental income. Section 12 on the House side and 5 on the Senate side were the same, establishing the offices of the Inspector General at the Department of Education. And that's being proposed for Senate language. Section 12 was a House-only provision, establishing a comprehensive school mental health services lead at the department. Sections 13 on the House side and Section 6 on the Senate side was a cancellation for litigation fees for the Department of Education, and Senate language is being proposed there. Section 14 is a House-only provision relating to the change in the PELSBY board composition. It's some transition language. And then the next four sections are the appropriations sections for each of the state agencies, the Department of Education, the State Academies, the Purvidge Center, and PELSBY. Madam Chair, that is Article 12.
Thank you, Ms. Pera. Members, we have Article 12 as amended before us. Questions, Representative Hill?
Just a quick comment on the enhancements that Article 12 makes to Pelsby, our licensing board, allowing for a much more efficient and speedy portfolio process for folks seeking licensure. I'm excited about this, having sat next to colleagues going through that process. This adds also some appropriations for our districts and charters to play a role in providing the development and, in some cases, coursework that folks seeking licensure need to get. So thrilled about these changes and looking forward to seeing the benefits.
Thank you, Representative Hill. Chair Pryor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to thank my Vice Chair, Representative Hill, for the work that he did, working with the folks at Pelsby, but also stakeholders, to really get some good ideas. And I want to acknowledge that before 2017, we did not have a professional education licensing board, and that there was a significant problems with how teachers were being licensed and delays and overlapping and diffusion of who was responsible for it. So I think that when the board was launched, you know, it was launched with the best intentions to do a good job and to be able to license teachers. But, you know, I think it's time to come back and make some tweaks to the system, adopt some changes that will improve this process, and to make sure that we're funding the licensing board in a way that they can get the work done and get teachers licensed, because we know in our state right now we have an incredible shortage of teachers, and that we really value the teachers that we have. And so one way to value and respect and retain teachers is to have a professional licensing board that really is responsive to the needs of the teachers as they gain experience, become fully licensed, and then we want them to stay in the profession. And I think that the changes that we have in the bill go a long way towards making that happen. And as we talk about the portfolio system, we know that this has been extremely problematic, something that needs to be improved, and this is the start for it, but it's not the end. We're going to be following this portfolio system and making sure that it lives up to the potential that we have in the state for helping teachers use their experience and get credit for their experience to become fully licensed. So proud of the work of that we've done and the contributions that we've had from so many people, and I'm glad that we're able to adopt it in the bill today.
Thank you, Chair Pryor. Any other comments about this section? I will jump in and say something I'm excited about, where I think is going to be a big improvement, is the Office of Inspector General at Education Minnesota, at the Department of Education, and the auditors and the IT upgrades that we're doing, and a lot of the other areas that have been underfunded in the past that I think is needed to make our department work well and also be good stewards of the taxpayer dollars. So I want to thank the work that the department has done on that and look forward to seeing it come to fruition. With that, members, are there any other comments or questions about Article 12 as amended? Seeing none, all those in favor, I direct nonpartisan staff are authorized to make needed technical changes to conform with the conference committee's intent. So all those in favor for Article 12 as amended, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Article 12 is amended as adopted. And members, we did some pretty amazing work tonight. Very excited about going forward. And Chair Kunisch has an announcement.
We are going to meet tomorrow morning. I think we'll be able to get through the last of the articles and get this bill ready to head to the floor. We will meet at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. That will give us all a bit of time. I know House is going in at 9 p.m. and we're still sitting on one of our bills here, so it could be a while before any of us get out of here. So 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, same place. And we'll see you there and get this done. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. And with that, we are adjourned. And I'm giving you this.